At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome into the show. If you're listening late to the John and Lance show, you know that there is no mates. AJ's in today. We welcome AJ not only to the show, but into our CFB dynasty. We confirm that AJ plays. Joe happened to be walking by, who is, I don't know if he's the owner or the commissioner. I'm not exactly sure what his title is, because we got a guy named Josh, who is either the owner or commissioner. I don't know. Either way, those two make a lot of decisions. We just play. So AJ will be part of our dynasty going forward. Just what happens when you fill in for Mapes.
Looking forward to it.
Question is Mapes not here because he really wants to play the game today with early release? I posed that question to Sean Mapes last week, and he was like, no, I'm just going to get in late Sunday, almost pretty much Monday morning, so I just decided to take the day off. By the way, his work day doesn't start till like 10 o'clock, so how late into the Sunday night or Monday morning is he really getting in? But either way, he at least will be the one among us who can actually play. I think the game, if you got an early release, starts, it's available at 11. So we'll see. We'll see how much Sean has played. We'll put him to the fire tomorrow. But either way, we got a show to do today with a lot of big news over the weekend. Yes, I was at the Gold Cup final yesterday. Me and my dad went. It was a raucous Mexican crowd. I knew that Mexico would overwhelm the U.S. fans. I did not know it would be to that level, so we'll talk about that as the U.S. go down to Mexico 2-1 in that one. I did think it was funny after the game, particularly because you know the U.S. weren't gonna really create a real chance. The one they did create, their striker, didn't convert, because that's what U.S. strikers do. They don't convert, particularly the backups who aren't on the, I guess you would say, the A-team. But I'm in the bathroom. Just get in the bathroom and get out to your car, because you know this game isn't going to end well. And the conversation began between a Mexican fan and a U.S. fan about the level of player the U.S. brought to the tournament. A lot of, you beat our B team and F you and blah, blah, blah. And as I was walking out the door, I did see the classic step outside. Let's step outside. I didn't even have to hear it. I could just tell. Because a drunk U.S. fan was, hey, man, it's okay, don't worry about it. And you could tell the Mexican fan was not happy. He goes, let's go outside. And I said, okay, it's time to go. I don't know if any fights broke out. I just know it was time to get out. If you're a U.S. fan looking to start a fight, it's the wrong crowd, man, because you would get stomped out. As I said, it was probably 90-10. It felt like it might have been more than that. We'll get it. I'll get into my experience a little bit later. But a fun time out at NRG. To watch the U.S. drop another Gold Cup final to Mexico. Mexico hadn't beaten the U.S. in like a competitive match, something that meant something, since like 2019. And outside of like World Cup qualifying and stuff like that. But so they get the job done, and Mexico pretty happy with that win. But the Astros, a big weekend for them. Sean and I talked about it last week, how we are probably unique and we don't really have this level of anger towards the Dodgers or the fans, mostly because I don't interact with Dodger fans. The other thing is that all sides almost completely different than the teams that faced off in 2017. You know, Kershaw's still around, and of course Altuve and McCullers certainly, and he played a big part in the weekend. But I don't have that type of anger. I know John Granato's at the game, a guy who's a friend of the station, used to work for the Texans. Nick Scherfield's at the game, and he was walking around celebrating, as Astro fans had every right to do, considering how that series went. He had his Astros rainbow, I think, colored the rainbow striped jacket on. He had a hat on, and at the very end of a video, I think his friend was filming for him. Someone like knocked the hat off his head, so we still got that type of business going on. But as far as the game on the field, a complete beatdown of the Dodgers by the Astros, and started really early. Started with the Paredes home run in game one. Christian Walker had an RBI single, which made Lance McCullers' job pretty easy. But credit to him. He's kind of my star of the weekend because we had a caller last week ask about Lance McCullers and his future with the team. And I said, look, Lance, beyond the story of coming back from all those injuries, has been a guy who even this year couldn't find any consistency, whether it be a poor performance after a good one or he got injured and missed starts. I can't judge Lance McCullers about what he'll be until I see him like put 8 starts in a row together. What can he be if he goes 2 straight months without missing a turn? And he wasn't dominant, but he was good enough. And there wasn't a lot of pressure because of the start the Astros got on, but he only gives up the run in six innings. And he's kind of my star of the weekend, mostly because of what it would mean for the future. Right now, the Astros don't really have a 3 you believe in. Like, the guys like Colton Gordon and Walker and Walter have done their thing to fill in. But when you're talking about this team who will be in the playoffs and can they have 3 solid starters, whether that's an Arrigetti or McCullers, I think those are your most likely choices when you follow up Brown and or at least in the rotation, be Fromber, then Brown, then whoever's the number 3. They need one more. And is what Lance McCullers did a start to that? I don't know. I just know that he has an opportunity to stack up good performances and kind of elevate himself because there is an open spot for that 3rd starter. But that is still a long way away. What we do know now is no matter what Dodger fans think, no matter what they do, the Astros live in their head. And when you go in there and take 3 and you sweep them, I don't know what it means. I guess I don't think the question was actually posed to anyone, but is a series sweep of the Dodgers, is that a bigger deal for some people than a divisional round win? Like, considering how much the Astros win, and the expectation is to at least be in the ALCS last year notwithstanding, of course, thanks to the Tigers, there is an assumption that the Astros are just going to be in the ALCS. That's the life we've lived. So if I could give you a sweep over the Dodgers or the 2-gamer over the Tigers that you didn't get last year, what would feel better? I know what means more. I'm not naive. I know beating the Tigers last year in the playoffs means more. I just feel like the sweep of the Dodgers feels better. Like, if you beat the Tigers in that wild card series, you're like, whatever, it's the Tigers. We're the Astros. That's what we're supposed to do. But to go into LA against a real contender and start it off with 18 runs and then take the rest of the series, considering all the history, I'm gonna go with sweeping the Dodgers. It's got to feel good.
And they outscored them 29-6, yeah, right?
When you do it in their building in that way and there's nothing they can say other than the Astros got us, I think, a perfect weekend for the team. You got everything you wanted out of that weekend outside of, Jake Meyers getting banged up, which we'll find out the extent of what's wrong with his leg later. And I say later because I don't mean it'll happen in the next couple of days, because considering how the Astros do things, we'll find out what they think is wrong with him in a day or so. And then we'll find out what's actually wrong with him in like 2 weeks. So the only concerning thing was Jake Meyers not making it through the weekend healthy, considering what he's been. But whether you consider this good news or not, a couple old Astros are back. Taylor Scott, who did not pitch well early in the year, so he had to go. He's back. And Hector Neris, who's back once again. He's done this a couple of times where he's been an in-season replacement for the Astros. This is, his 3rd turn as an Astro? So welcome back to Hector Neris, Taylor Scott, and all the other guys we've never heard of who contributed to the Astros' wins over the weekend, because I knew who Trammell was because I saw him, mention of him before the year began, but did I know who Zach Short was? No. Never heard of him before. And all he did was go out there and help the Astros sweep the Dodgers. He had 3 hits yesterday, had a hit on Saturday, 3 RBIs over the weekend for the 30-year-old Zach Short, who I wouldn't be able to tell you who he was. If you put 4 Zach Shorts in front of me, I still wouldn't be able to tell you which one was Zach. That's how anonymous he is, and yet he played a big part in the series sweep over the Dodgers. So that's got to feel good. Dodger fans, rightfully so, feel like they have a shot to win another World Series. Well, the big dog came into your yard and took anything they wanted from them. AJ, have you seen that viral video of that dog who's not that big, by the way? The dog who like controls his entire yard. He's I don't know what type of dog. He's like this white fluffy dog, and he's like the king of the yard, and all he does, he'll look at another dog and the dog will actually bow to him, or he'll put his paw on a dog's throat.
No, I haven't seen that.
And that dog, I forgot what his name is. It's King something. I forgot what they named that dog. And all he does is go through the yard and punk all the other dogs. That was what I saw over the weekend. The Astros, they're like that fluffy dog. They're not, you look at the team and the roster, they're not that intimidating. And then they go into your yard and punk you. And they punked all the best teams in the NL over the last couple weeks. If you are an NL contender, don't face the Astros, because they're going to show you, at least in June and July of the regular season, they're not ones to be messed with. So credit to the Astros for doing the thing and beating up on the Phillies and the Cubs and now the Dodgers, as they at least have introduced us to National League Baseball, because I don't care about National League Baseball. I'll be clear. Unless the Astros are playing a National League team, I barely pay attention, and apparently rightfully so. What am I paying attention to that league for? All the Astros do is smack them around. And they did it once again against the Dodgers. So that's a good way to really kind of start the month of July. Do it in dominating fashion against one of the better teams in the NL. While that was going on, of course, we had the Gold Cup. I'll get to the Rockets made a lot of moves. Well, we will talk about that. And I say a lot because they were involved in a 17 trade. We will talk about what the Rockets got, what they gave up. And, of course, one of the members of what people thought was a core seven, another one out the door. So now I guess we're down to a core five. And I would say don't get too attached, because it's been a conversation on this show really since Sean and I saw that being a thing on Twitter. There's no such thing as a core seven in the NBA, particularly when it comes to young players. And the Rockets are peeling off some of those guys this summer. And I wouldn't be surprised if that continues over the next year or so. So we'll get into that when we come back.
Houston 92.5,
broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Del Olalea.
We will talk some Rockets, but Lizzie J called in, and of course, you can kind of direct the show anywhere you want it to go with your call, and you can tweet me as well. Art said, playoff wins, always. It was me asking the question about beating the Tigers or beating the Dodgers in the sweep. Look, I get it. As I said, I know it's more important. But what makes you feel better? Like, if you take out the Tigers in two, fine. You know you have a long road to go win a World Series. But yes, understood what matters more. But considering the history, doing what you did to the Dodgers over the weekend, what felt better, considering you aren't even looked at as, maybe now you are, but looked at as a team with a high level of talent, or I would say you're looked at as a contender because you're the Astros and all that Astros inevitable stuff. But as far as you look at the roster up and down, who's healthy, who's available, and that team, it wasn't supposed to do what they did, and they smacked the Dodgers around. So I know what feels better for me. I expect to beat the Tigers in the playoffs. It didn't work, obviously. It didn't work out this past season. Going in there and taking care of the Dodgers, got to feel good. Let's talk to Lazy J. He wants to talk some soccer. What's up?
Yeah, what's going on, brother?
What's up?
Yeah, man, I just want to get in and talk about a little in sports this weekend, man. What a beautiful weekend. Putting belt to ass, the Dodgers swept them. Real won. El Tree did what they do when they always come to town. You know,
what?
Belt to ass to the USA.
What? What are you talking about? What they do?
Yes, sir.
What all they day. Do?
I know you.
Historically, baby. Historically speaking, over the last half decade or so, that is not what they do to the U.S. in games that matter. What are you talking about? Belt to ass.
Was that ten Gold Cup finals?
I believe that is 10. Oh. But okay. You said okay. That's what they do. Okay. When's the last time Mexico beat the U.S. in a match that matters? Like 2019?
Also, it didn't matter? It didn't matter last night?
I said no.
Midget Luna?
First of all, don't use that term.
No,
my point is, my point is that it's not a regular occurrence. It happened the last time they beat the U.S. in a consequential match of 2019. I think in a Gold Cup final. I'm not going to dispute that Mexico owns the Gold Cup. They do that, but the U.S. generally beats them in Nations League and other things. So, yes, there is a back and forth, but credit to Mexico, but the belt to ass is what they usually do thing is what I'm taking issue with. That's all.
Okay. And it was kind of, you know, I think they should take your soccer card, bro. You were talking about that. That should have been a handball.
That was a handball. First of all, I didn't say it should have been a handball because I didn't actually see the handball because I had an obstructed view and there are no replays at NRG, so I didn't see it. We played the sound of Pochettino who said it should have been a handball, but I never said it should have been because I didn't even see it live.
Oh, that sorry ass coach that couldn't do nothing in Chelsea. And y'all thought that he was going to do something for y'all? Nah, stop.
No offense, on, but man, I believe doesn't Mexico have a coach they fired like 3 times already?
Oh, don't we got the next phenom? What is it? The youngest?
I don't know.
Championship that's, at 16? I think Lamar.
What did he do last night?
What did he do in the quarter? What did he do in the last game against Honduras?
Oh, okay.
With that beautiful assist.
It's like the U.S. big upping Diego Luna for doing something against Guatemala. Cut it out, Honduras. Knock
y'all
it off.
Beat it, Guatemala. Y'all
knock it off. You can't big up some kid for what he does against Honduras. Cut it out. Aren't you Mexico? What do you mean? It's Honduras. Who cares what he does against Honduras?
Man, you know that U.S. shouldn't even been in there.
Stop
they
it.
They gave them 4 minutes extra time. Stop. Everybody else was 7, 8
Stop
minutes
it.
Extra time.
Stop. You, once day, again, if you're El Tree, nothing you do against Honduras matters. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, for the since I am a super minority, it's Mexico all day, every day, baby, and let's go Rockets, baby. Love the show.
Mexico every day, all day. Super minority. That's not a phrase. It's because he's mixed, so he thinks he can say that. Lazy J, everybody. Of course, he snuck in his Real stuff. Shout out to Mbappe for actually showing up for something. Didn't show up when they played PSG in the Champions League. Okay, giant front runner. That is Lazy J. He wouldn't have called it if El Tri had lost. Just so you're aware, that's who he is. I think we got one more call. When we get that name, we'll get to him. He mentioned the Rockets. The Rockets officially acquired Kevin Durant. I did see that the socials for the Suns officially welcomed Jalen Green. And also, they traded Cam Whitmore. They traded Cam Whitmore for 2 second-round picks. Cam Whitmore would have been included in the Suns trade for KD, except the Suns said, nah, we'd rather take the second-round picks as opposed to acquiring your problem and another two-guard as well. So Cam Whitmore goes to Washington. I assume he'll have a chance to get minutes, which may be the most important thing for him. And I think even that was some of the language used in the trade report. Like when the trade was reported, I think some of the language used was Cam Whitmore gets a chance to go to Washington and kind of prove himself. And the Rockets played a part in making sure he went to a spot that would give him that opportunity. So despite from the outside looking in, that relationship looking a little strained, they did work with Cam Whitmore, it seems like, to get him to a spot where he could play. He was buried here. He, as a developmental prospect, wasn't on the Rockets' timeline. We will see if Reed Shepard is more on their timeline or not, considering that Aaron Holiday is expected to be back. A second year of Reed Shepard being your third-string backup point guard is tough. Now, they did not replenish, I guess, their guard spot cut because you trade Jalen and you trade, if you want to call Dylan Brooks, a wing or guard. And, of course, Cam Whitmore's out the door. So there are minutes available. The question is, can Reed Shepard take them? Because you think about what their starting lineup will be right now. It's Fred. If we assume you drop Amen to the two, that's not a natural two guard right now. You're three. Kevin Durant's not really a three anymore. But if you're playing Jabari and Kevin Durant, who do you put there? I guess you put Kevin Durant there. And then Jabari's your four. And, of course, Şengün's your five. There's not a lot of ball handling currently on that roster, at least ball handling you trust to play rotation minutes. So that's where Reed Shepard comes in. Right now, that's a guy who feels like he has a real opportunity to go find minutes in at least on a team that will need him, that will need at least someone to take up those minutes. So he's got a chance. We'll see if he can take advantage of that. So thank you to Lazy J diverting me to the Rockets. And speaking of trades, there's another one that went down this morning right before this show started. Norm Powell, no longer Clipper. He goes to Miami. John Collins, the former Jazz and Hawk, goes to the Clippers. And the Jazz take on a poo-poo platter of Miami stuff and like a second-round pick from the Clippers. The Jazz get Kevin Love, who has already tweeted about it. He said, I didn't know I'd be a math problem. Welcome to the NBA. Kevin, you've been around a long time. Just because you are now the guy being used to make deals work, it's not new. You just happen to be dealing with it. Because Kevin Love, of course, had a long career of being an impactful, successful player. Then he went to Miami as more of a UD type, where he was just on the roster to be the vet. Now he got shipped out to make a deal work. Him and Kyle Anderson go to Utah, and then the Jazz get a second-round pick from the Clippers. So somehow, some way, the Heat get a 20-point-per-game score for that. So I guess you consider that a win for them. And the Jazz get their second-round pick. They don't have to deal with John Collins and whether they want to pay him or not. And the Clippers get an athletic big who will now play with a guy who in some ways is similar to who John Collins used to play with in Trae Young. He has James Harden there, a guy who can throw a lob, can work with an athletic big. We saw all the time that James Harden spent with Capella. Now, Collins and Capella, different players. John Collins stretched the floor, but he does operate well when there's a nice pick-and-roll guard who can see the floor, and now he has another one, and we'll see if that raises the level of the Clippers in the West. Arms race, man. Very competitive. And while we haven't had a really major trade, I guess, outside of you want to call the Michael Porter Jr. one because of his contract to the Nets, we do have movement. We got trades because there's not a lot to be done in free agency. So if you want to improve your team or at least change your team, trades are the way you have to go. And that's what the league is doing. The Rockets have done it. Other teams in the West have done it. We'll see how it plays out as we move forward in the offseason. I don't think we're done seeing trades. I think that'll continue. We got a lot of restricted free agents who are valuable players who can't find deals. Whatever you think of Kuminga, he's still out there. Josh Giddey is looking for a deal. Cam Thomas, designated gunner, is looking for a deal. So I think we've still got a lot of NBA movement. It'll be fun. And we're coming up on, I say, the real Summer League. Summer League has started, but no one really cares about what happens at the California Classic or in Utah. Vegas is coming up here shortly, so that's where everyone meets up. And we've already got trades happening before then. You can probably expect some other things to happen while all the decision makers are in the same spot. All right, Keith, I see you'll get to you when we come back. I still don't know who's on line one. We'll figure who you are. So if you called in and you're on hold and your name's not Keith, I know you're up there. I'll get your name, and we'll get to you when we come back.
Hey, Del. Long-time listener since coming here from New Orleans after Katrina. So with New Orleans, I listened to Chris Paul talk about how he maybe has 1 year left, and I really think that he doesn't get talked about enough, and I think he might go down as the best true point guard of all time. And I really hope that the Spurs either do something nuts or he ends up with a team with a ring for this last year. But the main reason why I was calling is I've been coaching high school sports for a long time, and Houston Methodist Sports sponsors a lot of high schools. And about 3 days ago, I saw a commercial, and Yordan Alvarez is their spokesperson. And I really felt like that was kind of an Alanis Morissette song. I'll hang up and listen.
I believe he's referencing Ironic. Yes, Yordan with Houston Methodist considering his issues. It did strike a chord with people. You're not the only one. I saw people find that poster or at least see the commercial and make note of it. As far as Chris Paul, I've seen where he could be a son again for whatever reason. I've seen L.A. as well, mostly the Clippers, I guess, as a backup point guard. Chris Paul is at a stage where he did the whole I'm going to help the Spurs try to be a professional outfit, try to help some of these young guys understand what it takes to win. I don't have any, and I guess Jason mentioned he's from New Orleans, so that plays a part in his, I guess, Chris Paul stuff, considering his time there. But I don't have any affinity for Chris Paul as far as, like, I really hope he wins one. He's not one of those guys I think about and say, I hope he wins a title. Maybe it's because he punched Julius Hodge in the nuts way back when. I'm not sure. I'm not sure why. I don't mind him as a player. I know he's a great point guard, and as Jason said, maybe the best pure point guard, certainly of a generation of all time. I mean, people will suggest that Magic Johnson was a pure point guard too, despite his size, and give it to him. But if he winds up ring hunting someplace, cool, whatever, as a backup guard someplace, that's fine. It won't make me root for that team. It's Chris Paul, a lovable figure. It's not for me to say, as far as most people's opinions, but for me, whatever. If he never wins one, whatever. Fall in line with John Stockton, Karl Malone for other reasons. If he never won one, I'll be fine. Like Barkley, in retrospect, I wish he would have won one because of all the things he's done after basketball. But during the time when Barkley was playing, nah. Whatever. Win one or don't. I guess because I think no one actually deserves to win. Either you win it or you don't, because why are you more deserving than someone else? I'm sure that person worked hard as well, sacrificed quite a bit to win. Your story is because it's a longer story because you haven't won one doesn't make me feel that you should win one. Just go out there and win one. Like in my own childhood, I grew up a Dan Marino fan. Do I think Dan Marino deserves a title? No. I think it's more to do with that Dolphin defense when he was great, but still, don't think he deserves one. Just like I don't think Josh Allen deserves one. Either go get it or don't. Lamar, go get it or don't. I think that's just how sports works. I don't think anyone deserves anything. All right, let's get to Keith. He's got an NBA question. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale, can you hear me?
Yep, you're good.
Hey, obviously address the Miami Heat move. Love the Heat getting Norman Powell for a couple of bench guys, especially Kevin Love, who is basically Udonis Haslem at this point of his career. But just want to touch, with the East kind of being so wide open, the Cavs quietly, added Lonzo Ball for a really bad bench player, in my opinion, Isaac Okoro. And then they also get Larry Nance Jr. With the Pacers taking a step back, the Bucks taking a step back, a lot of teams hurt, the Celtics. What do you think of the Cavs? Do you think, with those two moves, are they going to be, they're coming off the one seed, obviously a tough loss to the Pacers in the second round, but could the Cavs take that next step up next year, you think?
I think certainly health will play a part for the Cavs. They were banged up in that second round, and then they ran into a Pacers team that we saw what they're capable of. I won't call it bad luck. It's just the luck of the draw, I guess, for them. Because of the guys who missed time. We found out Darius Garland was much more injured than we thought. He tried to play through it. He wasn't as effective as he was during the regular season. If we're doing the whole first take thing, is Donovan Mitchell good enough? Is the question. He has never been out of the second round of the playoffs. He is a spectacular scorer in the playoffs. He shows up. I don't know if he had more than one Rockets series, but he played against the Rockets in the playoffs. I think he won a game two here in Houston almost by himself. So we've seen him from a very young, at the very start of his career, be a guy who shows up. And you look at the point totals in the series that they lose. I mean, he's not shying away. He is putting up numbers. He's scoring buckets. He has just not been good enough, I guess, along with the rest of his roster to get out of the second round. So I don't think the Cavs should be removed from the title talk equation, at least particularly getting out of the East. I think at the moment, maybe the Knicks are the favorite, but the Cavs are right there. There was speculation that they were trying to get off either Garland or Jared Allen, maybe not even just for an upgrade, but just to change the team in different spots. That hasn't come to fruition as of yet. When Kevin Durant was still in the market before he became a Rocket, the Cavs are one of the secret teams in on him. And the Suns wanted Darius Garland plus assets to make that move work. They didn't think Kevin Durant was at the same value of Darius Garland. Now look at what they actually got. They got a Jalen Green, who not a lot of people believe in right now. And, of course, Dylan Brooks. And their first-round pick back, which they turned into Malawak, the center from Duke. In fact, we'll come back and go through all the things included in that 17-team trade that I talked about. We'll tell you what the Rockets got. We'll tell you what the Suns got. And a lot more teams involved than we thought. Part of the Clint Capella trade is in there as well. So a lot to get to. If you want to get in, you can join Keith, Jason, or Lazy J, 713-780-3776. I'll get into my Gold Cup experience. I went to NRG with my dad yesterday to watch the Gold Cup final. We heard Lazy J calling about that earlier. My dad's first take on not the game, but just the experience was that the NRG pitch wasn't long enough for the game. He did math. He's an aerospace engineer, at least an ex-aerospace engineer. He found out the square footage of NRG, the playing surface, and then just started doing math to figure out if it was a long enough field for that type of game. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. Me and AJ here till noon. We will be back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
A lot of things became official in the NBA over the weekend, Rockets in particular. So, the 17 trade that the Rockets are involved in, they get Kevin Durant and Clint Capella. I believe they sent out seconds to the Hawks. The Suns get Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, Kamon Malawak. That's the center out of Duke. Rashear Fleming, a wing guy out of, was it St. Joseph's? I'll find that. Kobe Bryant and more. So the Suns acquired like half a roster, and you throw in a second-round pick. There isn't anyone really notable beyond like the guys I've mentioned already. Like Golden State got a couple guys. Atlanta got David Roddy and a swap. Brooklyn got a couple seconds, whatever. But the big thing here is the Kevin Durant and Clint Capella deals are official. They're your Rockets. Oh, we also know Landale's gone as well. So that answers the question about how many centers will the Rockets really have. It'll just be the three. It'll be Şengün, Adams, and Capella. And then you are very strong at the wings, despite what John Hollinger said, saying they don't really have any. He thinks they're a bunch of fours when you throw in Tari Eason, Kevin Durant, Jabari Smith, and of course Amen Thompson. He thinks they're all kind of like fours. I'm sure the Rockets think differently, considering their roster construction. Fred, your point guard, you don't really have a true two guard, which is interesting to think about right now. And do they make a move to go find one someplace? Funny, Norm Powell gets traded. He would have fit pretty well here. Just I don't know if they were going to be willing to offer any assets to get a Norm Powell who's on an expiring deal. So I think there is a lack of scoring punch. Even with Kevin Durant on the roster, I think one more guy would be needed unless Amen's going to take a jump where he's playing that 2-3 role. But as it stands now, it's a very, very, very good roster. But now I'm just picking nits to figure out if you can find a two-guard there, because we're talking championship stuff now, not just being fun and interesting. We're talking about a team and can they win a title. So that generally takes a complete roster. And we've seen in the NBA playoffs, particularly in the finals, you need a lot of two-way guys. Can't have a lot of soft touches on one end of the floor, or you lose minutes pretty quickly because of how another team will exploit you. The Rockets don't have any really on the defensive end. I'm trying to figure out if you roll that lineup, which guy would be the one you pick on. Like let's say they're playing the Thunder, since they're the top of the heap right now, and they're playing them in a conference final or second round series, whatever. Who's the Rockets you pick on as far as the guys are going to roll out there? I guess you try to get Şengün in the pick and roll. You try to get Shea switched out on him or Jalen Williams switched out on him, but Shingun's become a competent enough defender where I'm not sure, beyond the fact that you have great offensive scorers on the other side, that he's a guy you can just isolate and terrorize over the course of a game. And that's part of the profile to go win one, to go win a title. No soft touches. And I think, at least right now, the Rockets don't have any on the defensive end. As funny as it sounds, Kevin Durant, I still think there may be instances where scoring is a bit of an issue, but you have Kevin Durant there to close out a game. But over the course of a game, there may be moments where scoring could be a problem. But, hey, they did go make a big move to try to fix it. So we'll see. I don't think I've ever seen someone call about this player before. Now, AJ, you've done a lot of producing. Do you remember a time where someone has called about, how do I not insult the player being mentioned, ever called about a guy that's been least consequential?
I'm sure there have been some occasions, but, well, do you want me to spoil who's on the thing to the audience?
I can't see the name. It's grayed out. Like, the person who's calling, I can't see that name. I can see the player in question. That's why I reacted to it. But who's calling in?
Name's Johnny.
Johnny. Okay. Johnny. This guy is a free agent for a reason. He's been a bit of an NBA vagabond for years now. I don't know if I've heard anyone mention this guy's name on a radio show in a very long time. What's up, Johnny?
Yeah, not much, man. It's just a guy that would be a cheap, sign on behind Aaron Holiday and Fred VanVleet, because those are the point guards.
Yeah,
because Mojave King isn't really a point guard. Reed Shepard isn't a point guard. And Ahmed Thompson, yeah, he could play it, but I don't think he really is a point guard. But, you know, it'd be just an extra addition. Possibly Reggie Jackson, that point guard.
Yeah, I wonder how much. It's not a bad point. I just don't know if a third string point guard at the moment would be their goal. Because you mentioned Aaron Holiday. I think they classify Reed Shepard as a combo guard, which means he would get minutes as if you made him a third string point guard. Elfrid Payton is the name, by the way, of the player. Elfrid Payton was a former first-round pick. Had a lot of promise at one point. Was a lottery pick as well, and it just hasn't worked out for him. He's traveled the NBA, kind of the NBA landscape, from being a first-round pick to being a bench guy to being out of rotations. He played overseas. He played for Fort Wayne. He's played everywhere to keep his career going. Most recently, he played for the Pelicans last year. I don't believe he would be an option right now. I think they would say the Rockets would say they have three point guards when you throw in Reed Shepard, and I think maybe you mentioned Reggie Jackson, a more accomplished player as well. I just don't think they would lean there when they've already said they're bringing back Aaron Holiday. Reggie Jackson at this point in his career is probably a minimum guy, and for Reggie Jackson, he probably is not looking to sit someplace, at least that far down. Like, Reggie Jackson knows there are going to be games where he doesn't play. I just don't know if he wants to be buried behind the type of guards that the Rockets currently have, where they would appear to be no way he gets on the floor. That's a guy, if you look at your roster midseason, if he's not on a roster, you pick up, or he's bought out by someone and you add him to your roster. But I think at the point guard position, the Rockets are pretty set with Aaron Holiday on his way to coming back, if that news isn't official yet. So appreciate the call, Johnny. Elfrid Payton, a name from the past. Mostly known for the hair to start his career. When he got drafted by the Magic way back when. He's a born and bred Louisiana guy. Went to Louisiana, went to high school there, and has had a couple stints with the Pelicans now in his time in the NBA. Okay, we'll go to break with that. We'll close out the first hour of the show with that. If you want to call in, certainly you're welcome. 713-780-3776. I'll give you an update on where the guys will be this week as the Summer Circuit Tour continues and what you can win if you show up and meet those guys. We're doing that throughout July and August as we continue with our Summer Circuit. So 1 hour in, 1 hour to go. Me and AJ, till noon, we'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Whether you're buying a home or you're refinancing. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.